Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you don't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Jude. The New Testament book of Jude. The book of Jude is right before the book of Revelation. Remember that the book of Jude is the corridor book leading from the epistles all the way to the book of Revelation. And Jude is that corridor that takes us from these instructions about how to live as a Christian and how to operate a church, to go into the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So now we find our way into the book of Jude. We've been walking through. There's only one chapter, but there's so much in this one chapter that we've been walking through it a couple of verses at a time, filtering through it, sifting through it, trying to discern what God would have us to do. So if you don't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Jude, again, right before the book of Revelation at the very end of the Bible. And look with me in the book of Jude. And notice with me, we're going to start in verse 1 and get a good running start. The book of Jude, starting at verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there were certain men crept in unawares, who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that God refers to these false teachers in the book of Jude? And notice with me in verse 10, Jude 10, verse 10, notice the phrase, brute beast. Brute beast. Remember in the book of Jude, what is happening is Jude is taking time to write pen and paper to write of the common salvation. And as he's writing in the common salvation, he is also led to tell you that he must earnestly contend for the faith, because there are people that are trying to pervert the Word of God. There are people that are trying to twist, to wrest, to struggle with the Scriptures, to make them say something that they ought not to say. And because of this, that we, if we're going to keep the salvation that was handed to us, salvation meaning that Jesus Christ died for us, he paid for our price up on the cross, was buried on a borrowed tomb, and rose again the third day to pay for your sins and to pay for mine, to give us freedom and forgiveness of sins, full, free, and forever for all those that believe. And yet there are false teachers that want to take away this. They want to twist it. They want to make something different. And so what we see here in this corridor book is that we're going through the epistles, which is explaining how to live as a Christian, how to operate a church. And it's going to the book of Revelation where judgment is coming upon the world. This corridor book explains why. Because of the teaching of false doctrine. And all throughout this, they have explained and give poetical pictures to explain about these false teachers. And verse 4, it says, they're creepers. They sneak in unawares, ready to sneak behind and blow things up. The Bible goes on and gives other descriptions. But here is a description they give in this verse here. They're brute beast. That's how the Bible explains these folks here who try to twist the word of God. How do they try to make it to say something that it ought not to say. Notice, if you don't mind, as we look in here and see what the Bible says about these brute beasts in verse number 10. But these speak evil of things which they know not. It says these brute beasts, they speak evil of things they don't know about. They don't know Jesus Christ personally, but yet they speak evil about him. They don't know what it is to walk with God and have the God's power and God's blessing upon someone, yet they speak evil of these things. They speak evil of things that they don't know, and they twist it around. They try to make it to say things. They get aggravated about people who believe the Bible. Have you ever met someone who was aggravated about someone who believed the Bible? I got a phone call last night about 9 o'clock, and this guy picked up... was talking to me on the phone, and he said, someone left one of these little pamphlets up on my door. Let me tell you, I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it at all. How dare you shove your religion in your face? I can't believe anybody would do that. And before I could say a single word, he clicked. Okay, well, praise the Lord. But he was upset. But you know that track that he received last night, or whenever he received it? That would have told him how he could have forgiveness of sins. The most loving thing we could have done was to give him that track. And yet he's speaking evil of things that he knows not of. You know, we try to have a type of church where we honor the Word of God and we open up the Word of God and we read the text, we explain the text, and we apply the text. But yet there are so many people who would be critical of such a thing. How come we don't have a band? How come we don't have this? And they speak evil of things that they don't know of. And this is what the Bible says. These people are brute beasts. Notice again in verse 10. But they speak evil of those things which they know not of. But as what they know naturally. Notice this word naturally. In the book of 1 Corinthians, it gives us an understanding what naturally means. That when we talk about the condition of people, that you are saved or you're not saved. Meaning that when you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit, who is God, come and live inside of you. And now you have the ability through the Holy Spirit to see things spiritually. Whereas someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they can only look at things through natural eyes, through unsaved eyes, through the eyes of their flesh. And sometimes that gives them not an understanding. They don't understand what it is to be forgiven of your sins. They don't know by experience what it means to have Jesus living in your heart, the Holy Spirit to guide you, to convict you. They don't know those things. They can only see things through natural eyes, through unsaved eyes. And the Bible says, but they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. To them, it doesn't make sense why someone would wake up early on a Sunday morning. I mean, Sunday morning is prime real estate to catch up on sleep. What are you crazy people doing so early in the morning? Coming to Sunday school. Why would someone give money to the church? That doesn't make sense. You understand, there's a lot of things that doesn't make sense to unsaved folks. And yet some of these unsaved folks take it beyond that and they speak evil of those things that they don't know of. They don't know what it is. And the Bible gives this description, verse 10, but they speak evil of those things which they know not, but at what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Meaning the more that they fight against God, the more they corrupt themselves. The more that they make a stand against God, the more they get aggravated against God, the more of things that are in between them and the Lord, that makes it harder for them to put down their pride and go to God. Can you imagine someone who's hated God for 20 years? Do you think he's naturally going to receive me when I go knock on his door? Probably not. It makes it harder for him to receive the truth. Makes it harder for him to believe what the Bible says. It makes it harder for him to obey the things that God has given. Because they're hurting themselves, speaking evil about things that they don't know of. Notice, if you don't mind, some more descriptions of these brute beasts. Notice, if you don't mind, as we see in verse number 10 again, let's see some descriptions of this brute beast. First of all, they don't know God. They don't know God. But these speak evil of things that they do not know. You know, the things that they don't know is the most important thing? They don't know God personally. Do you know that you can know God personally? There's one thing to know about God intellectually, historically, but to know him personally. Do you know that you can know of George Washington, but you can't know him personally? Why? He's dead. You could go to his grave. You could read some facts about him, but you can't know him personally. There's a difference about knowing about someone and knowing someone personally. They don't know God personally. They've never talked with him. They've never had a relationship with him. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 4, we see some things that it talks about these brute beasts, still talking about the same idea. Verse number 4, for there are certain men that crept in unawares, who before were ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Here, it's talking about these brute beasts. They don't have salvation. They don't have salvation. They turn the grace of God into something that it's not. And they don't have salvation. So the Bible says they don't know God personally. They don't have salvation. This is a description of these folks here. Then notice this in verse number 4. For there were certain men who crept in unawares, who were before ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These brute beasts do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know him. So these are folks here that hate God. They hate the Bible. And they come in. Some of these people try to sneak into churches. They're not saved, but they have their own idea. And they're trying to destroy things from within. And that's what the whole book of Jude is warning about, is the idea that we're not worried about the people out there. We have to guard from people who come in here who hate God, who are not saved, who want to twist the Bible and to try to make it say that something that it doesn't say. You understand that we're in a constant battle with false doctrine. We can't let down our guard because it's always trying to come in. It's always trying to creep in, and it is something that we need to fight. If you don't mind, as we continue with the book of Jude, let's see the three examples that God gives of these brute beasts, these creepers that try to come in and destroy things from within. Remember, we're not talking about people who hate God without the walls. We're talking about people who hate God, who sit in pews like this, who have their own idea, that want to twist the Bible and come up with their own way of doing things. Notice, if you don't mind, we come to the first example in verse number 11. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 11, it says, woe unto them. Remember that word woe means curse. So cursed is them. Cursed are they. That's pretty bad when God says they're cursed. Notice, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Here's the first example of these brute beasts and what they're here for, what they're following. It says the way of Cain. Now, what are we talking about, the way of Cain? Well, we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to do storytelling mode today. But in Genesis chapter 4, we have the story of two young men, the very first sons that were born on the earth. A young man by the name of Cain and another boy by the name of Abel. The Bible says they grew up. Adam and Eve were their parents. Adam and Eve, of course, had been kicked out of the garden of God. And it came time to worship God. Now, Abel was a keeper of the flock. whereas Cain was the tiller of the ground, meaning that he was a farmer and he put his life into farming, whereas Abel, he kept the flock. So when it came time to worship God, I want you to remember this, that we must worship God God's way. We have to worship God in spirit and truth, the Bible says, James or John chapter 4, that we have to worship God the way that God gave us to worship. So we have Cain and Abel. Both of them came time to worship God, and I want to give you something. Both of them gave their best. Both of them did it with a desire to worship God. Cain gave his best crops. So it came time, he wanted to worship God, so he grabbed his best crops and he gave them to God and said, God, this is what I gave for you. I worship you. Here's what I give to you. Abel took the best of his flock and he gave it to God. Now, both of them tried to worship God. Both of them gave their best, but only God accepted Abel's and he rejected Cain's. You said that's a mean God. No, 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 no. God demands to be worshiped his way. God demanded that blood had to be spilt, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, we know that the blood of goats and lambs did not save, but it was a picture that because of his sin, blood had to be shed. Because of our sin, Jesus' blood had to be shed. It was a picture. It was something to remind them how awful their sin was. When Cain gave his sacrifice, there was no blood involved. And even though he gave his best, God rejected his sacrifice. But he didn't stop there. God said, hey, if you would just obey, I would accept it. But you know what happened to Cain? No. I think God should accept whatever I give to him. And he got mad. And he got aggravated at God. Now, he probably realized early on that he can't beat up God. Have you ever realized you can't beat up God? So, you know what he had to do? He had to take out his anger on someone else. His brother. And so Cain killed his brother. Why? Because Abel did anything wrong? No, it is because Cain refused to worship God the way that God demanded. And so we see these brute beasts, they follow the way of Cain. These brute beasts come into churches, and their goal is to get people to worship God in a way that doesn't please God. It doesn't matter, they say. We can worship God however we want. So we could bring in rock music. And God has to accept our worship because we're giving our best. No, we have to do it God's way. People like to slip in a different Bible. Well, we don't believe that we should use the King James, the Authorized Version. We could use whatever we want. No, we have to worship God God's way. You know, God says quite a bit about worship in the Bible. And to follow after him. And he doesn't leave us where we're guessing. He makes it very clear. But anyone who refuses to worship God, God's way, the Bible says they're a brute beast. They follow the way of Cain. And that's something we have to fight against as people come in all the time. I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, you'd have more people come to church if you would just put up a band. I've had people say that. Well, we have to worship God God's way. Our goal is not to get people. Our goal is to be pleasing to him, and he will bring in people. Well, preacher, you have great messages, great history, great science, but if you would get rid of the invitation, a lot more people would come. Well, I have to do things God's way. And God always says to give an invitation. He gives that example all throughout the Bible to let people respond to his message. We have to do things God's way. And yet we have these brute beasts, these creepers that come in, and they sneak into churches following the way of Cain, wanting to worship God by their way, their ideas, thinking they know better than the Bible. And all that's happening is that they're going to ruin what God has taught. And they're going to drag people away. And that is example one. Notice as we go to verse number 11 now. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Here's the second one. And ran greedily after the error of Balaam. The error of Balaam. Think about that. The error of Balaam. Now, what are we talking about? The error of Balaam. Well, this story is found in Numbers chapter 22. And you have the children of Israel who are going across the wilderness wanderings. They're preparing to go into the promised land. And some of the nations were afraid. And there was a king of Moab called Balak. And Balak says, I heard that there's a prophet out in the middle of nowhere called Balaam. And if I could get Balaam, I heard that whatever he prays for comes to pass. So I'm going to hire this guy, this preacher for sale. And I'm going to hire him to curse God's people. And so he sent out messengers. And he sent them up and said, Balaam, the king would like to hire you. Absolutely, I like money. And he wants you to curse God's people over here. Well, that may be a problem. I can only do what God tells me to do. So sorry. And so they went away. Well, Balak said, the king said, you know what he wants? He needs more money. So offer him more money. So they offer him more money, and Balaam's eyes go, well, you know, I could really use this money. This looks good. I wonder if I could figure out a way. And God could see his heart and knew that he was going to do what he was wanted to do anyway. So he said, let me pray about it. He didn't have to pray about it. God already told him no. But when he prayed, God said, do what you're going to do anyways. You're going to ignore me. So Balaam said, woohoo, that's permission. Now, for those of you who have been parents, when you tell your kid, oh, go ahead, do it anyways. Do you really mean for them to do it anyways? Or worse yet, when your wife says, no, go ahead, do what you want. Does that mean that you could go do whatever you want? No, not without consequences. That's what God got. Fine, do whatever you want. But God didn't want him to go. And to prove it, as Balaam is now excited, I'm going to go get some money. He starts rides in a donkey. God sends an angel that Balaam can't see, stands in front of the donkey, and the donkey stops, says, whoa, I can't go on. Well, Balaam gets mad. Come on, you're in the way of me getting money. And he starts beating the donkey, kicking it. Finally, the donkey says, stop, what are you doing? Well, Balaam didn't even stop to think, hey, you know what? My donkey's talking to me. There's something wrong with here. He gets in a conversation with the thing. Starts yelling at it and tell him, you know, get out of my way. Do what I tell you to do. Finally, the angel appears. And pretty much God says, you know, I didn't want you to go this way. Do what you want. Balaam says, oh, I can do whatever I want. And he takes off and goes anyways. So he gets up under the mountaintops. Balak is right beside him. And they're looking down at the children of Israel, by the way, which is a very cool visual sight. I'll have to show you sometime how that is set up as Balaam is looking down. But as he's looking down at the children of Israel, he says, all right, now it's time. And he begins to pray. And as he begins to pray, he's supposed to curse him. He says, God, please bless those people. Well, Balak, the king, is upset. What are you doing? I told you to curse them. What are you doing blessing them? Well, I can only bless what God tells me to bless. By the way, there's a principle there that if God has blessed something, it can't be cursed. And God has already blessed those people, and they can't be cursed. Well, he tries again. God bless these people. Oh, what are you doing? Well, let me try it again. I'll get it right this time. God bless these people. What are you doing? Finally, Balaam says, you know what? I can't ask God to curse these people. But how about this? I teach you what you can do so that God would curse these people on their own. And Balak says, all right, tell me what to do. He says, what you need to do is send out your ladies. You send them out and let these men get married to the ladies, and you let these ladies teach these men how to worship a false god. And as they start worshiping a false god, guess what? God will curse them himself. And guess what happens? The women of Moab go and marry with those. By the way, this is why there's a principle that if you are saved, not to marry an unsaved person. This is the principle that's given in there because they will drag you away from God. Well, now as they're serving other gods rather than God, guess what God does? he curses them and kills a lot of Hebrew people during the time. What do we see here? What we see here is that there are people who like to get into churches, creepers, brute beast, and begin to mix the worship up and get people to get their eyes on something else other than God. And then what happens to a church? God's blessing is removed from that church and destruction is able to hit it. This is why we have to fight against false doctrine. We have to protect against false doctrine because they're trying to creep in. They're trying to sneak in unawares, trying to do it in a subtle way that people don't understand what's going on. This is a dangerous thing. So we have the way of Cain. By having false worship, we see the error of Balaam by convincing people to go worship another god, to mess up worship, to mess up how God is to be worshipped. Remember, God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. That's the way God says, spirit and in truth. So now we come to the third example in verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Korah, once again, is found in the book of Numbers, the same book as Balaam. And in this book here, you are introduced by a man by the name of Korah. And Korah was a Levite. He was part of the family of the Kohathites. And they had a great job. Their job was, they were hand chosen by God to carry the furniture of God by hand. Imagine what a privilege it would be to be able to carry the Ark of the Covenant. That was your job, that whenever the tabernacle was moved, you got to hand carry the tabernacle, the hand carry the furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, the candlestick, the altar of incense, the table of showbread. They got to hand carry that. They got to do that for the Lord. The problem is that they didn't see it as a blessing. Instead of saying, I get to serve God, they go, oh man, I got to carry this stuff. And they weren't happy about serving the Lord. They weren't happy at all. Especially after being told that they have to hand carry it. They don't get wagons, they have to hand carry it. They have to labor, and they get to labor for the Lord. But they're looking at it, we have to. Then they got the news, you get to do it for 40 years. Because the people had disobeyed God. See, they weren't happy about serving God, and now they were told that they have to do this for 40 years. They were not happy at all. So Korah leads the charge and goes up to Moses and says, who put you in charge? I am a priest just like you are. How come I'm not in charge? And they started to yell at the preacher. Who put you in charge? How come you make the decisions? I'm blessed of God. Why can't I make the decisions? And they challenged the preacher. Well, how do you think this is going to turn out? Well, Moses did what he was supposed to. He didn't fight against Korah. He said, let me pray. God, I need your help. And then God says, all right, well, let's have a contest here. Everyone who thinks that they're in charge, you take your staff and you go ahead and place it in here. And which one buds? Now, you know what a staff is. Staff is a stick that's been off the tree for a while. And God said, whichever one buds, that's the one I chose. And guess what? God put his blessing upon Aaron and Moses and not in everyone else. And then God said, guess what? Just to show that I'm serious, if these guys die a natural death, then God's not in it. But if they die in such a way that you know only God can do this, then we'll have at it. And so Moses said, hey, everybody better stand back. So maybe everyone's looking for lightning. But what happens is the ground opens up. And it swallows Korah, Nathan and Abiram, the guys who stood before Korah, and their families and all their stuff. And the ground opened them up and swallowed them up. And everybody went, oops, I think Moses is in charge now. But do you know that there's some people, this is the brute beast. These are the creepers that creep in. is that they creep in and they look at the man of God and said, who put you in charge? Why do you make the decisions about the music? Why do you make the decisions about what we teach? Why do you make the decisions? Because I'm just following God's instructions. I'm the messenger boy. It's all about God. I'm not in charge. God's in charge. I'm just the messenger boy. But someone likes to come into a church and said, who put the pastor in charge? I have better ideas than the pastor. I know what I'm doing. Everyone, follow me, not the pastor. Listen to me. I've got good ideas. Follow me. And it says the gainsaying of Korah. See, they're trying to gain their own crowd to listen to them. And they want to teach their own ideas, their own thoughts, and their own opinions. And by the way, where did that end up, Korah? In a pit in the ground that God opened up. But these are things that the book of Jude is trying to get across. We have to protect from false doctrine. We have to protect because the doctrine is at stake. And these are how the creepers come in. This is how what Bible says, they're brute beasts. They sneak into churches and they try to convince people that they have a better way and their way is right. And we can worship God this way. And they want to detract people from what the Bible says. And they want to pull people away from following after the pastor, the man of God that God has put there. They want to worship God in a different way than what the Bible says. And guess what? Because the people don't know the Bible, they follow those people rather than the preacher. They follow those things to their own destruction. And that's how churches fall apart. That's how churches leave and go a different direction until they're no longer following after God, but their entertainment centers, their social clubs. They're no longer following what God's given them to do. And the Bible says that we need to be warned of them. This is what the book of Jude is warning about, against these people who come in, about trying to bring in false doctrine, trying to corrupt everything, trying to ruin what these things say. And the Bible gives a warning. So what do we do, by the way? Well, we should determine, first of all, to follow those that God has placed in the leadership of the work of God. And we should stick with what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible is our only authority for faith and practice. You need to know what the Bible says so you're not deceived by it. You need to know what the Bible says so you can line up and follow the Bible. You need to know what it says so that way when counterfeits and these brute beasts come in, that you're not deceived and that you're not fooled and that we're going the right direction. This is important stuff. Because eternity is at stake. Lives are at stake. The Bible's at stake. This church is at stake. Don't you think that Satan hates this church enough that he would send in people to destroy it? Remember, the church is never destroyed from without, from outside sources. It's always destroyed from within. When these people creep in. And they try to find their place. And they look like a good Christian. And they get a lot of influence. And they seem to have a lot of good ideas. But their ideas to twist and to blow things up. To be creepers. To explode things. To sneak in. And to mess everything up. And to bring people away from the true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a warning that we have to guard ourselves. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.